Well, good morning again. This morning we're going to continue working through the book of Hebrews. Chapter 4, verse 9 will be our sermon text. It reads, "There remains therefore a rest for the people of God." By way of introduction, as we continue working through the epistle of Hebrews, we'll see the author use the term rest. At the end of chapter 3, he uses that word twice, and then in chapter 4, he really starts to roll with that term. So, what is rest? Rest can be defined as a state of ceasing from work or activity. It's most commonly used in association with a physical rest. But we also see the term rest used many times, such as when a person has died, and the phrase "rest in peace" is used as a sense of comfort and a hope that this deceased person will have a peace even in death. And as Christians, we know that the only rest that is absolute and that is sure is found in Jesus. We can rest in His peace. We can rest in a confidence of salvation. We can rest in God's strength and rest in God's word. But if one was to perish without Jesus, that person would experience nothing but an unrest on top of what the Bible describes pertaining to hell. The author uses the example of the Israelite wilderness wanderings as a warning to believers, because they failed to enter into a rest, which was the promised land. And the reason was because of a lack of faith, a lack of obedience. So I want to begin reading Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. It reads, "Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, 'So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest.' Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all of his works. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience." Again, he designates a certain day, saying to David, "Today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not have afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience." So there's a lot to unpack here. And for me, it was kind of confusing because of my understanding on how to attain rest. For example, in verse 3, it states, "For we who have believed do enter that rest." So here we see faith alone, which is in Christ alone. And then in verse 11, the author exhorts the reader to be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone should fall according to the same example of disobedience. Now to be diligent, that means to make an effort. Make an effort for what? An effort to live out God's will for your life, and you will find rest. So what the author is pointing out is that there are two types of rest. Hence the reason why we are working out of Hebrews 4:9. Today, there remains a rest, therefore, for the people of God. The first rest deals with salvation, which is your eternal rest. And the second rest speaks to the fact for which the first generation Israelites fell short of, a present day rest. So today I want to speak about both types of rest. First, the eternal rest. You know, for a person to have a future eternal rest is only through faith. Faith in Jesus. Because only He can save wretched sinners such as ourselves from the eternal punishment of hell. For Jesus is the Son of God, which qualifies Him to be Savior. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is the good news about God offering sinful people eternal life. Because without Jesus, our sins are what send us a one-way ticket to hell. But God desires that we do not die and suffer in hell for our sins. So God came down to us. And eternal rest is dependent on faith in who He is. God with us, Emmanuel. For Jesus saves His people from their sins. Believer, your faith is even a gift from God, a part of a spiritual heritage to attain this eternal rest. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14 reads, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Eternal rest also rests on Jesus' promises. Jesus said, I am the door, and if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The Lord has many promises to believers, which He will not break. For what He has spoken will come to pass, or already has come to pass. Your eternal rest also encompasses faith in Jesus' redemptive work. The risen Christ is faith's reality, because without the resurrection, our faith is what? It's futile. The Apostle Paul said, for I have delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ has died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again according to the Scriptures. See, many believe in a Jesus. You know, when witnessing, sometimes when someone says, I believe in Jesus, I kind of probe them. What Jesus? You know, a Muslims believe in a Jesus, a limited Jesus, being only a prophet. Cults believe in a Jesus, being only a good man. Others believe in a false type of genie type of Jesus. But friends, the only true Jesus to believe in is the one found in the Holy Bible. Amen. And not the New World Translation Bible either. That version adds, subtracts, does whatever it can to fit the theology of the Jehovah Witnesses. So stay away from the New World Translation Bible and get yourself a good King James Bible. So if your faith is in Jesus, who He is, His promises, His finished redemptive work on the cross for the full payment of our salvation, friends, you have eternal rest, a future eternal rest. John the Baptist introduced Jesus and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. I chose that scripture because I want to transition to the first generation Israelites. They experienced a form of deliverance through faith in God's word. They started out well and experienced God's deliverance. They believed that they would that God would deliver them from the affliction of the Egyptians. See, God had set them apart from the Egyptians. They're God's own people. And most of the 10 plagues that God set upon the Egyptian land did not even affect the Israelites. The last plague was the worst. The death of the firstborn. Exodus 11:6 reads, "Then there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as was not like before, nor shall like be again." Now, the Lord spoke to Moses, directing the Israelites to take an unblemished lamb, kill it, eat it, take its blood, and put it on a lintel on the doorpost. This was the Passover sacrifice. And the Lord said, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt, and on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." Friends, that unblemished lamb's blood is a symbol of their deliverance. Just as today, our faith in Jesus, who freely shed his spotless blood to cover our sins, so the wrath of God will not come upon us, whose faith is fully in Jesus, who he is, his promises, and his redemptive work. Now, Jesus said, "It is finished." Amen. Christ is a symbol of a Sabbath rest. Because in him we find complete rest. Rest from any self-effort of our own or trying to attain salvation. Jesus did it all. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father right now because the salvific work is complete. It's done. There's nothing else that needs to be done. And Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." Friends, if you do not have this security in eternal rest, you know, today is the day of salvation. Friends, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now the second kind of rest is a present day rest. Hebrews 4:11 exhorts us to be diligent to enter that rest. In order to attain a present day rest, you need to continually strive. You need to labor. Many Christians enter into that future eternal rest when they place their faith in Christ. They experience that sense of deliverance and assurance that, yes, I'm going to heaven, which is great. It's wonderful. However, for many, it stops there. The eternal rest is only the starting point. Now, as we begin our journey through the wilderness, which is a type of lost and dying world that we're in today, we need to apply our faith to the word. We need to walk in victory and hold a present day rest despite the circumstances that come our way. You see, they failed. The Israelites failed to have a joyful fellowship with God because of their doubt in God's provision, because of their dissatisfaction, because of their unbelief and disobedience and murmuring and complaining. And as a result of these things, and many more, they failed to have a present day rest. So they lost their inheritance. They did not get to enter the promised land of Canaan. And I've heard it mentioned somewhere before that Canaan, it resembles heaven. When, how can that be? Because in heaven, you enter into eternal rest provided by the work of Jesus. You don't have to overcome anything. Jesus paid your sin debt in full. In death, you are present with the Lord. Just like Jesus said to the thief on the cross, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." To enter into a present day rest results when living in God's will, despite the circumstances. Because even in the promised land, the Israelites faced a bunch of adversity. The Israelites, led by Joshua, had to overcome some form of adversity. They had to engage in battle. They had to conquer giants and kingdoms in this land and that land. They seemed to always have to overcome something, including defeat from a much smaller enemy at Ai. And it resulted from their own self-confidence, their own lack of prayer, their own disobedience, and this hindered their present-day rest. Their lives were always in much struggle when not leaning on God. And that can happen today too, friends. When you don't lean on God for when adversity comes towards you. 1 Corinthians 10:11 reads, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." We always have some form of adversity to overcome as well, whether it be outward or inward. We all have giants to face in our lives that could represent a form of sin or pride or unforgiveness or lust or whatever it may be that hinders our fellowship with Jesus. But we have to overcome God's way. Just as Joshua conquered the enemies because of God's instruction, God's leading, Joshua provided a partial rest because the Israelites did enter into Canaan. But only Jesus can provide a fulfilled rest, enjoying fellowship with the Lord. We need to apply the word daily in our lives. John 17:33, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Listen to Jesus. He's not only our Lord God, our Savior, he's also our mentor. He's also our example. So looking back on Hebrews 4:11, how can we as Christians become more diligent to enter and maintain a present day rest? I think John the Baptist hit the nail on the head when he said, "He must increase and I must decrease." Now, the context of this verse pertains to John's followers starting to flock towards Jesus. Because Jesus' disciples were also baptizing people as well. Their ministries were starting to overlap one another. And the disciples of John the Baptist were concerned about it. So John had to straighten them out by speaking about the supremacy of Jesus. "For he is from above, and that Jesus' sandal strap I am not worthy to loose." So by way of application, Jesus can't be a small part of your life, friends. To enter into a present day rest and maintain it, even when things are not going our way, Jesus needs to be the biggest part of your life. John responded to his disciples in a humble manner. "I need to step aside." We must be doing his will, responding to circumstances his way. Because he knows best, and he overcame this world. In conclusion, I just want to provide some scripture verses that help in times of adversity, times of being in the wilderness, to help you maintain a present day rest with the Lord. Starting with what Solomon wrote in Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. He says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." The Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. In the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." 1 Peter 5, 7, "Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you." In James 1:22, "Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." You know, in 2023, many are in the pursuit of happiness. Now, let us change it up a bit. Let us engage in a pursuit of holiness, which in turn will offer not only happiness, but a comfort, a peace, and also a present day rest through Jesus Christ. So let us be diligent to enter that rest. Let's pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for first and foremost what you have done to give us an eternal rest. Your salvation, your salvific plan through your only begotten Son, by sending him to take the wrath that we deserve for our wretched sins and placing it on your innocent Son. We thank you, Father, for the blessing and assurance we have through Jesus, your Son, through your promises, through the redemptive work of your plan. We are eternally grateful, Father. Father, I pray that if there's any souls in here that are lost, that you open up their hearts and ears to this message and help them realize that their need, that today needs to be the day of salvation, not to wait any longer. And Father, I thank you, Father, for the exhortation that you have given believers as well, that we need to continually strive to be holy, to be like you, your Son, to help us learn how to engage in any adversity that may come our way, that may steal our joy. Thank you, Father, for helping us continue to strive for a present-day rest with you. We thank you for your word, which continues to enlighten us and strengthen us and help us. We thank you through your leading, through the Spirit. So help us, Father, as this year continues, this new year, let us continue to strive to be like your Son. And whatever falls our way, help us, strengthen us, so that it may not hinder our present day rest with you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.